Hello and welcome to Glimmer of Genius, episode 4. My name's Luke, and as well as this podcast, I also make MTG YouTube videos. On the line with me is Level 2 Judge Grant David and MTG Trader Simon Wright. In today's episode, we discuss our experiences with Armonket Limited, the recent bannings, and the new standard format, taking a look at the recent SCG Open that happened in Atlanta over the weekend. Grant, first of all, how was your pre-release?
Pre-release was good. I opened the Red God, which was fun, and I think I did quite well. I can't really remember. I think I've done two, so I keep getting mixed up. But it was good fun. Second one, I didn't open anything good, but I opened just like good green and white cards. I think the only rare that was I actually played was the one that gives it plus, and then there's another lifelink thing in there, I think, or makes it fight something, whatever the split card's called anyway. And then I also just got like a good smattering of like cartouches, the 3-1 lifelinky guy and the exemplar strength guy, and they were just super powerful and just won all the matches. I don't think I lost a single game.
Oh, nice. And Simon, what about yourself?
I also done two pre-releases, which were really good. How were yours, Luke?
I failed to attend any pre-releases.
I had a
very busy schedule.
Mine were really good. The first one, I opened a promo Nissa.
Ooh.
Which was awesome, and I just went blue-green fatties. I really liked that deck. That's pretty tasty. It also had Visor of Many Faces. Ooh. Glyph Keeper, which is also very strong. It's a good card, but it was quite a numbo with a lot of other. With many faces to start with. It also, had lots of bad interactions. Oh my god! But it was a really fun deck to play. A lot of ramp, flashed a bit of white for some removal. I think I've put a photo of both of the decks up on our Facebook page. Actually, if anyone wants to check them out. And the second deck was a red blue deck, which was, it was fun. That only went 2-1 though, but it was a bit weird. It had the blue god, it had Kefnet, so, but it also had a lot of discard as well because of the red.
How did you find Kefnet?
I got to attack with him once.
Nice.
That was quite good. But I also had Paul from Tomorrow in that deck as well. I didn't get to do the trick, the mid combat trick of making him active, fortunately.
No.
Yeah, and on top of that, I got to do two drafts as well. So I've been getting all the magic in. I'm really liking the draft format, but it is a tough one. Especially the first draft, because it was only a 6-max. We had a weird number. I went black-white sort of zombies. I went more black-white tokens, because I got the Anointed Procession quite early.
Nice.
And it was quite fun. If I had that on the board, I was doing all right. But if I didn't, the deck was crap. And then the second draft, I was with blue-green fatties again. I opened the other Sphinx first, the cycling one, and just went really cycle heavy and really enjoyed that. I played Blue Serpent quite a bit, and loads of the Drakes, the cycle Drakes as well, were really strong and just flew over my opponents most games.
Nice. I like the Serpent creature. He's actually not that hard to activate.
No. Yeah, if you can't, you just cycle him.
Yeah.
So it's very good. Oh, I also had Insult to Injury in the blue-red deck. That card is just broken. I think I was winning games like turn 4 with it.
Really?
No, that's like turn 5.
Okay.
To flash it back again. Yeah, it was just disgusting. Whenever I had that card in hand, I won.
Wow. Yeah, some people were talking to me about that card being quite insane in Standard. Someone was brewing up a mono-red aggro deck with the new cards, and they were sort of all over Insult to Injury. Is a really good card, so it seems like it's pretty powerful.
I could see it being standard for 6 mana. All your stuff does double damage, and on top of that, you get to deal 4 damage to one of their creatures and 4 to their face.
Yeah.
Hideous.
Yeah, no, I like it. I also managed to do a draft the Friday just gone, I think it was, and...
Yep, I was there as well.
Yes, I think we drafted very similar decks, did we not?
Yeah, mine was awful. Yours actually worked.
Yeah. I did get very, very lucky though. I pack one, pick one was Liliana, which was nice. And then I was getting past lots of blue cards and past Drakehaven, so I just thought I'm gonna make this happen and drafted all the cycling creatures and a few removal and cycling cards and just went from there. Unfortunately, I played like a chump. At one point in one game, I focused so much on keeping Liliana alive, I and getting value out of her. I didn't get any value out of her and almost decked myself. And nice. Yeah. And then another game, I had a chance to leave a counter spell up and not play a really insignificant creature, but I thought, this person's not doing very much at the moment, so I'll add to the board and put a presence in play, and that's fine. And then they go, cool, I'll untap and cast Glorybringer. And I was like, oh, for crying out loud. So I sat there with Essence scattering my hand, feeling very sorry for myself. But yeah,
I forgot. I was there that night as well, so I've done three drafts.
Oh, wow.
I totally forgot. So yeah, that night I went black-green. Black-green minus one counters.
Did you have the Snake Woman?
No, but I it had no real bombs. But I opened Decimator Beetle.
Oh yeah.
And first picked that, and I was lucky to get a second one, pack two as well.
Ooh, yeah.
That was a really strong deck. I actually went 1-2, one because it was a bit weak to flies, and two because I was a bit drunk. But, no, yeah, that was a. Hence why I probably forgot that I even went to the draft.
Yeah.
But no, that was really fun to play. I really liked that deck.
Yeah, I went. A poor man's version of Luke's deck. I first picked the Sphinx, which was quite kind of good, you know, when you got it out. It's 4-mana, 4/4 flyer, unlimited, is pretty good. But then noticed that no one was really picking blue or black, so then I just picked up all of the cycling cards, hoped something would happen. So I had, like, play sets of, I think, or three or four versions of the Horror, which you could cycle, which, again, is quite good. And I think I had four copies of the Cycling Serpent you were talking about. But the only thing I really had to piece it together was, like, some kind of mediocre bounce spells and like only a couple of counter spells, and it just didn't really do much apart from replace cards in my hand with other cards I don't need. But it was fun. Nice. It was good to investigate like how cycling works, so yeah, it was still fun.
In my blue green draft deck, my third draft deck, I think it was the weakest of the lot, but it had a sort of trial and cartouche sub theme. I had two green cartouches and one green trial, but also had blue bounce spell, turn target permanent to your hand, mill two.
Yeah,
and also one in the sideboard as well, and I bought the second one in quite often because it worked quite nicely with everything.
On the subject of cartouches and or trials, how do you feel about them now after having played a few, especially drafting? What do you think of them now?
I've played with the green one. It was okay. The red one's obviously good.
The white one, particularly on that green-white deck I had, so I had an Exemplar Strength turn two, then attacked with, obviously the problem with Exemplar Strength is he starts off small, but obviously you put in the white cartouche and you give him plus one and first strike, so it meant that he was permanently a 5/5 if he didn't have any removal, and that was just mad, getting you like three life as well. So I love the white one personally.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Vigilance as well.
Yes. No, it's first strike and plus one plus one.
Oh, is it? Which I'm looking at the trial, sorry.
Yeah, which is better because it means that Exemplar Strength obviously is only like a 2/2 when it actually attacks, which of course is when you want to kill him as the opponent. But of course you make him a 3/3 with first strike, and then he goes all the way up to a 5/5, and it's too powerful. That's like turn three, it's just crazy.
Yes.
I've seen the Channel Fireball lot, LSV and Marshall Saltcliffe talk about the blue trial. They're quite hot on that.
Okay.
Draw three, then discard a card. It seems quite strong. I almost first picked that in the third draft, but I took the Cycle Sphinx over it.
Yeah, that's
obviously the choice.
In their initial set review, they're also quite high on the green one as well.
I haven't really used the trials, any of the cartouches.
The trials are uncommon though, aren't they? So they're a little bit harder.
Yeah.
I used the, I'll tell you what I really like, the monuments. The white monument is super good.
Oh, they're insane, yeah.
Everyone I played completely forgot about the fact that you get a 1/1 vigilance creature off of just any creature spell, not just white ones.
Yeah, I was about to mention the white monument.
That was just crazy.
Broken is really good. Yeah, but no, with the two green cartouches and the one green trial deck I had, that worked really well. And I had the sorcery, reveal the top five cards of your library, you can choose a creature and or enchantment, put them into your hand, put the rest into your graveyard, and it worked really well. Just getting cartouches everywhere. The green cartouche is definitely the most powerful one, and the blue one's quite good as well.
Mm.
I don't know about the other three, though. I don't know about the white, red and black one.
The white one's super good. I've had the green one used against me, and I didn't like it, so yeah.
I think that's a good indicator if something is good or not, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, they seem very, very, very useful. And I actually forgot as well, I did a draft online, I started a draft league, and I got absolutely wrecked by someone would play the white cartouche, and that was annoying enough, and I was thinking, well, I can cope with that, my creature's a little bit bigger. But then that was after they'd already played the trial, the white trial first, and like pumped all their guys. So then they got to bounce the trial back, and yeah, it was, they can be, if you set it up, the white one especially, just like getting all that buff to your team, it's horrible.
Yeah.
Any colours that you felt at this early stage were a bit weaker, having played it now?
I didn't. I mean, I'm not much of a blue player, but when I've played blue and limited so far, I haven't really enjoyed it. It hasn't seemed to be very reliable, but maybe that was just the choices I made. While definitely white and green seem the most powerful to me, but again, that might just be due to, you know, what I've played.
I think white and green can definitely pack a punch, and if you haven't got the answers for it, it can cause some trouble. And what I've noticed as well is, I think why white and green might feel quite powerful at this stage is it kind of reminds me of Theros Block, when there wasn't an awful lot of removal, and the removal that did exist was quite expensive. So there's like that card that exiles a creature, but it's 5 mana.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's quite a lot. And you think, like you were saying about, you know, I'm trying to think of a card that would cleanly deal with that 2-drop you just mentioned, Grant, and then that thing with Life Drain on it. Like, I think Cut to Ribbons would do 4 damage to it, but even then it could get bigger than that.
Yep,
and that's
exactly.
And that's a rare.
Yeah.
So like Magma Spray could, depending on how quickly you get it.
Exactly.
Splendid Agony in black as well, 2-1 counters.
Yeah, the thing is, of course, if we're talking about this in limited, it's, you don't have that reliability to always have one of those cards in your hand. That's the problem, I think.
Yeah.
It's tricky. Oh, actually, I forgot about one. I think it was the first pre-release I think I did. Grim Strider, you know, the 4-mana 6/6 that gets -1 for each card in your hand.
Oh, yeah.
I found that really powerful.
Really?
Yeah. I played it, and as long as you played it on sort of turn 4 or 5, when you know you only were going to have like 2 or 3 cards in hand, I just kept getting rid of stuff, and then all the removal they had, unless it was just destroy or exile type creature, they couldn't get rid of it. It was really good.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So, like him and, you know, any of the hand get rid of stuff, like, you know, with Hazoret, obviously, right, and other things. I quite like him.
No, that's decent.
I just didn't think he'd be that good.
No, in limited, I found him really useful.
Yeah. Oh, good.
I'm pleased, because I was keeping well clear of stuff like that. It's interesting to know that exists. So I think like a, you know, black red aggressive deck, or a green red, and like you say, white green, they can really do some nasty things.
I know there was a situation where I can't remember what card it was. I ended up killing 3 cards. It was crazy. I think it was, they had like 3 creatures. I only had 1 or 2. I think it was Grim Strider was obviously one of them. I think they blocked with like say a 3/3 and a 2/2 to try and take it down. When it was a 5/5, I then think I cycled something or played something at instant speed, and then obviously, actually, I think it might have been a removal spell, but obviously killed the 3rd creature, and then Grim Strider was big enough to kill the other 2 and not die itself. It's just the instant speed stuff that makes it really unpredictable, which is quite nice.
Yeah. I suppose it makes it awkward.
It's good for my game.
It was really fun. I really enjoyed it. We're doing starting Amonkhet League sealed tomorrow, so I'm quite excited about that as well. Open some bombs.
Last thing I want to mention, sort of pet cards in the set for me, was the 4-mana draw 2 instant speed that cycles.
Oh, yeah.
It's very good. Very pleased with that. That performed very well. Is there any other cards that you particularly liked out of the set?
Oh, the best thing. Someone played Angel of Sanctions against me.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember what it took now, but it was something good, and I was a bit annoyed about it. And then I top deck Visor of Many Faces and copied their Angel of Sanctions and exiled it and got my thing back.
Right.
I thought that was quite sweet.
That is pretty cool. Grant, was there anything that you liked?
Looking, I think I've mentioned all the stuff I want to do in limited. I've done in limited. I think the only ones I can think of is the ones I'm gonna do in constructed now. And I wanted to build a deck, as Simon will know, because I brought them off from yesterday. I want to build a deck around the Sphinxes, particularly Glyphkeeper. And another thing I did, what gave me the idea, I saw someone use Glyphkeeper, and it was kind of a nuisance to get rid of. But in one of the limited decks I had, I think it was that blue-black one that didn't win anything, but it was just a real pain sometimes. So I kind of want to build a deck around it. It used the Edifice of Authority. So this is the one that stops a creature from attacking. Again, it might be worth you having another look at the card, but the way I remembered it was it starts off stopping stuff from attacking, and then when it has 3, it stops you from attacking, blocking, activating abilities.
Oh.
But what I completely missed until I played it was it says until your next turn.
Mm.
So you do it in your turn, you get a free attack through, and then they can't attack you next turn either. So I had that combined with the one that gains you life with bricks on and just was a real nuisance. So I'm kind of tempted to build a deck around that, but I'm imagining having some sort of blue control deck. It's not really my style, but I kind of like the bricks, and also I did a quick gather research, as I always do when I'm brewing decks for Standard, and came up with, I think it's called like Plunderer Sky Pirate or something, or Sky Pirate Plunderer, which is a 2-mana 2/1 with flying, and when it deals damage to the opponent, you can basically proliferate. So I'm going to use that combined with Sphinxes to, well, make more bricks quicker to control the board to then kill them with flying creatures. So, you know, I was going to say it should be fun. It's probably not. And I hate the idea of being playing control, but it's for me to enjoy it, I think. The other idea I had, which is a bit different, was, and actually we'll probably talk about it a bit later because of the whole top eight, it's a red-white human deck I'm planning, but doesn't go down the always watching route, although I'm probably sure that's probably better. But I really like the Throne of the God Pharaoh, combined with Handwear Garrison, to make lots of attack creatures and make them lose life. And I'm not sure if it's going to work, but literally my playset arrived in the post today, with Dusk Dawn.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to run always watching. Make sure all my humans are always below 2 power, or most of them anyway. Just, and then consistently just wipe the board every so often, and then if my stuff dies, bring it back with Dawn and see how that goes. So I'm going to build decks around the bricks and the Dusk Dawn card.
Come to our next Day of the Vegas and yep. Get bricks.
Super fun. I need to find my Lego bricks. That's what I need.
Yeah. I remember like really scratching my head looking at Dusk Till Dawn, so I'm pleased that you found a way to break it. That's good.
Well, we'll see. In theory, it's good, but we'll see.
And yes, echoing completely everything you said about Edifice of Authority, that card was filth. I can't remember passing it in the draft, but I probably did because it's a new set and I can't take everything in. And I would not be passing that card if that comes my way in the future.
Don't tell everyone.
That card is solid. It doesn't. It looks so inconspicuous.
Yep.
Goes in any deck. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's great. Okay, I think that's enough for Alenquette Limited. So we'll take a wee break and then come back and talk about the recent bannings. Okay, so as no doubt everyone knows by now, there was a banned and restricted announcement and a subsequent addendum, amendment, whatever they called it, to
emergency banning.
Yes, there was an emergency banning. So, long story short, Beladar Guardian is banned in Standard. There was also no change in Modern. In Legacy, Sensei's Divining Top was banned, and Vintage saw Gush and Gitaxian Probe restricted as well. Given that none of us play Vintage, there isn't much really to add on the Vintage front. And Legacy, from what I understand, that needed to be banned. Apparently, Miracles, which is the deck it's targeting, has been a deck, or the best deck, for such a long time that it's deserved, and it's unheard of that a deck would be that dominant for such a long time. And also, if anyone's ever played against Sensei's Divining Top, it is a lot of library manipulation and very dull to sit there and endure your opponent looking at the top cards of the library and then using it alongside counterbalance to then counter everything you do.
So I'm sure it's good for the Legacy format. I don't play. I wouldn't know.
No.
What I'm upset about is that they reprinted Sensei Divining Top in Eternal Masters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that's a year ago now, but that's okay. So that's not too bad. To be like, oh, it's a reprint. Oh, we're going to ban it. And then to reprint the Miracles as well in our last Modern Master set. And then the deck gets nerfed. It's annoying. They've done the same with Splinter Twin as well.
Yep.
That freshman, I don't mind cards getting banned, especially if it, you know, livens up the format a bit, mix things up. But when they do it after cards are just recently reprinted, it annoys me a lot.
Yeah, I totally get that. And I think what would be interesting to know is how far along the production line, or the projected production line, however they've got it all planned out, when they're making these sets and they're thinking about potentially banning cards. Miracles and Sensei's Divining Top was a problem for a long time, so they should have banned this long ago. And it makes me wonder, at what point were they looking at it thinking, well, no, we're going to reprint and put Sensei's Divining Top in this Eternal Master set. It's too late for us to ban it now because we've already kind of got it locked in as a reprint. But I don't know if that's maybe why they kind of don't, and then they leave it for a while and then ban it afterwards. But either way, it doesn't really feel very good.
I guess the other reason is that once it gets reprinted, it's more available and cheap, and therefore more people take up the deck and play it. Then it becomes a problem.
Yes.
But yeah, I can see it with Modern, not so much with Legacy, I don't think.
I agree.
People have multiple Modern decks, not such the case with Legacy. I'm not sure. But once you've got your deck, that's it, sort of thing. But I'm not too sure on that.
That is the consensus on one of the other podcasts that I've been listening to with Legacy. Like, people have had their decks for however long, and they don't really look to have more because of the cost of entry, and it's just not viable.
Yeah, it's just frustrating. And it used to be with Standard as well. They would avoid making bans in Standard as much as possible. Of course, they changed that policy, and it was just, we want to make bannings to make the Pro Tours more exciting, which is fine. I mean, a lot of Standard cards aren't too expensive anyway. You're not going to, I mean, if you buy a playset of Smuggler's Copters, you might lose out a bit, but it's not devastating. You can always pick up another deck.
Have they said that, though, about Pro Tours, or is that just what we've inferred?
I think it is to make Pro Tours more... Yeah, sure, I read it. It's to make Pro Tours more interesting, mix up, make space for the new cards, because that's what it's all about. That's what Pro Tour Amonkhet is about, is to show Amonkhet cards. Which is, you know, it's a bit annoying, but because it used to be no bans in Standard wherever possible.
Yeah.
But with Felidos, to go, oh, it's not banned, and then to ban it 2 days later, oh, that was awfully handled.
Yeah.
About the money investment, you know, people complaining about Felidar Guardian being banned and people investing into Healy Rays. Like, one person I know did actually buy a playset after the no ban announcement, which I think really sucks. But having said that, like, if you talk about how much that deck's worth compared to Mardu vehicles, say if they'd banned some key piece in Mardu instead, in terms of investments, Tahiti Ray isn't actually that bad. You know, you're generally going to have some lands anyway. I can't really think of that deck being worth that much apart from the Sahelis.
No.
So to go back to if they'd handled it a bit better, I think that hardly have been any money lost at all. Because apart from some people saying, oh, they literally bought a playset after that banning announcement and the cat wasn't on there, that sucks. But if they'd done it on that day, I don't think
you
really could complain about losing money at all, because it's not really an expensive deck compared to Mardu at all.
Well, there's a lot of posts about people holding out, completing the deck until the announcement. Yeah, as soon as the announcement, there's everyone, like on the Facebook page and stuff, people are like, oh, now it's not banned, I want to complete the deck.
Really bad.
Can I get these cards? And then, for Wizards to turn around 2 days later, it was a bit of a poor show. I know they had their reasons, and they were actively looking out for it. So the set came out online earlier than normal, didn't it? And then apparently that was deliberate, so they could keep a track of it. Or so they claimed.
Yep, these were their... These were the reasons.
Could they have said beforehand? Could they have said, you know, these are the banning announcements, but we are going to update these in 2 days' time?
Yeah.
Or just wait 2 days' time for the banning announcement. But the reason was that they found online that the copycat deck was so much more oppressive than they thought it would be, after even with the new set being out, that they had to take emergency action. But I'll be honest, I didn't even know the set was online. Early, and I don't really play Magic Online anymore. I didn't know it was on early until I saw Channel Fireball draft videos up. And I think a lot of people were the same.
And also, 2 days worth of data isn't really enough.
Especially when people don't know the new set's out.
No.
And they've had chances to pull cards together and build a deck.
Yeah.
It was probably online with Copycat. It was 1,000 odd players waiting for a deck to not be banned and to finish the deck together.
Yeah. And also, not everyone plays Magic Online, so it's a different meta. It might have been different with this weekend tournament that's just gone. You might have seen a different set of results than what you were seeing on the online ones.
Yeah, we've got the top 8 from Star City Games, haven't we?
Before we move on to that, is there anything else you want to talk about on the bans? Or
Too Long Didn't Listen summary is, we agree, but the 2 day thing was kind of not good.
Yeah,
shitty is the word.
Indeed. Okie dokie then. So there was, I believe, in Atlanta, a Star City Games open event. What that means exactly, I don't know. Don't really frequent many Star City Games tournaments. I'm guessing it was an open competition, like a Grand Prix, but not a Grand Prix. And it was set in Atlanta.
I agree.
Yes.
They're big prizes, yeah. Big tournaments.
Yeah, do we know what kind of prizes they do for them?
You sent us the link. I assumed you knew what they were.
No, I'm not interested in the prizes. I just maybe
solid
think...
gold fiddle.
The Sonic.
Yeah.
Oh, I should go to Atlanta.
Sensei's Divining Top. Complete playset.
Okay, so we're agreed there is some level of prize structure at these tournaments.
They're big tournaments. They're very competitive.
Yes.
The deck lists are the first indication of what's to come in Standard. Of course, it won't be really set till we see the Pro Tour, but this is a good indication of where stuff's going.
Yes.
And it's Mardu, Mardu, Mardu.
Yes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Mardu decks made top 8. Mardu took first place, and fourth was a red white humans deck, fifth was a black green delirium deck, and sixth was a mono black aggro deck. So
I didn't like the look of the mono black aggro deck.
I'm glad you're the first person to say that, because I, no disrespect to the person that made that deck, and obviously they did well with it because they came sixth, but I'm looking at it and there isn't much to say. I'm just going to go over it real quick. There's basically Scrap Heap Scrounders, Ballistas, Bone Picker, Dread Wanderer, Glint Sleeve Siphoner, and Night Market Lookout. But I was looking, when I saw Night Market Lookout, I was expecting to see a vehicle of some kind, like maybe...
Yes.
What's his name? The good one.
Smuggler's Copter.
No. Heart of Kieran. I was expecting, maybe he's doing shenanigans with Heart of Kieran.
No, he's Fear Harvester, because that's crew one. That's much better.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything, but they don't have anything. There's nothing like that. And there's no Curve Topper.
The third thing I thought. I was just like, they're tapping it to do some drain, but then it just dies. So, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, it dies to everything in the format, and I don't understand what the hell that was. Maybe it's got intentional synergy with Bone Picker. So, like, you play Night Market Lookout on one, you attack, and then they block, because they're not going to block, because it's, why would you not block that thing? And then that leaves you to play Bone Picker.
I like the Bone Picker. That's basically all I like about this deck.
Yeah. I like Bone Picker.
Walking Blister for zero, turn one Bone Picker. Yeah.
Yeah, that is aggressive. Bone Pickers for days. I think the biggest thing I have with this is there is absolutely no way to force through damage. It's got a few kill spells and a Liliana. But as soon as they start gumming up the board with, I don't know, Heart of Kieran, which is going to beat you for four and then sit there with it as a 4/4 blocker, what the hell do you do against that? Like, I don't like it, but... I'll probably get beaten by that deck a lot in FNM.
Because I was interested in it. It really grabbed my attention. But then looking at it just was underwhelming.
Yeah.
It's similar to skip to the Red-White Humans deck. I really like it. And as I'll talk about in a bit, like I'm thinking of building a similar deck myself. I didn't like the fact that it only had Declaration of Stone as the only removal, given that instant speed threats, like, say, vehicles, are quite a big thing.
Mm.
And I'm really surprised, like, two declarations only would be fine, but I'm really surprised it doesn't run something like, I don't know, Sky Whaler's Shot or Stasis Snare, or just something to get rid of vehicles, because they are quite a big deal.
I think, isn't this deck so quick it just goes under vehicles, though?
I suppose.
Yeah.
It is playing like 30 creatures.
So, strikes me as a weird choice. I don't know why it's in there.
I think they're going to be often activating their vehicles in their turn.
Yeah.
In order to block.
Oh, then do it, main phase 2. Yeah, I suppose that works. Yeah. It just seems a bit of a weird removal choice that we haven't seen for a while.
I know what you mean, and I think if you were playing a mid-range deck and you were getting into these longer games, deck in stone would be probably quite awful. But the fact it's got 30 creatures and it just wants to throw its hand at you, I'm with Simon. I think that's basically plan A. And all deck in stone is to kill something that might keep them alive. Because I reckon they're probably, this deck is probably going to be putting so much pressure on that they're not going to be able to crack that clue.
Yeah, I suppose another thing I was thinking of is if you do it on a Blister, they'll probably blow it up in response and they don't get a clue at all. So that's quite nice.
Yeah.
They've got four Glory Bringers in the side as well, which I like to see.
Yeah, that's quite nice.
That feels ambitious though with 22 land.
I think it's fine. You're not going to hit it reliably, but, you know, mid-range or something.
Fair enough.
But yeah, so to go off of that, we discussed it a little bit earlier, but I'm thinking of doing the same thing because I really, really love Hammer Garrison, and it was in a kind of a bad place before, but I think it's in a better situation now that, you know, you don't have Lug Guardian and things. But mine's basically the same, apart from it runs Hammer Militia Captain, the one that flips and makes more clerics, and it runs Westfell Abbey as well. And rather than having Always Watching, which I agree is quite a good card, and same with Glorybound Initiate together, I'm using playsets of Dawn Dusks, and basically my strategy is to have lots of little guys use Throne of the God Pharaoh to do some extra damage at end of turn, and then either wipe the board just whenever, or use the Dusk side to... No, Dawn side, sorry. So you get my little guys back, and it hits, I think, everything apart from whatever the red-white... Is it something? Crop Mate or something?
Honored Crop Captain.
Yeah, which is super fun with Hammer Garrison, because you go attack with some guys. The guys are 2-1s, as long as you stack your triggers properly. And also, Thalia's Lieutenant gets 2-1-1 counters on it.
Mm.
Oh, and also if you had Metallic Mimic in play as well, the guys come in as 3-2s, so that's super fun. Yeah, so that's the deck I'm playing. This is probably better, but I don't have a playset of Glory Bringers, so maybe I'll switch to this deck if my one's not good. But I like the idea of running Dusk Dawn, so...
Yeah, it seems a lot stronger than the Mono Black deck.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's Black Green Delirium in there as well.
Yes.
Now, I like... Yeah, this is more my sort of deck.
It's worth noting as well, we'll post a link to... where you can find all these in the show notes as well, so you can actually see these as we're talking about them.
It seems to have a few extras than the normal
Manglehorn
deck. Yeah, we've got a Manglehorn, Gonti's in there as well. Don't think they're running that before, and Ishkanar's back in the deck as well.
Never Return. You've got a playset of those in the, including the sideboard.
Oh yeah,
that's quite nice.
That is that, good.
That's the only new card in the main, isn't it?
I think so.
Oh, and, yes. And Manglehorn, obviously.
There's a one of Scarab Feast in the sideboard. I'm not really sure what that's for, because Karatas won't get rid of stuff like Scrappy's Grandeur, so I'm not really sure what that does.
Mirror Match?
Mirror Match, yeah.
I guess. Yeah, I guess so. I never like a one of in the sideboard unless they can tutor for it.
Actually, yeah, it's really good for against Delirium, isn't it? Scarab Feast.
Although, I would be surprised if it didn't run. I know it's not quite as good because they can be really, particularly if they've got artifact creatures, they can be a bit funny with what they pick. But it would almost be better to run, you know, the cats that exiles everything but two, because you'd be able to use Traverse the Elven World to find the cats. So I think I'd personally want to try and use a card I can look for, and therefore one of would be fine.
What cats?
It's an artifact creature, and you sacrifice them, and the opponent picks two cards in the graveyard, and everything else gets exiled.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But you'd be able to look for those with Traverse the Elven World, so I'd feel personally that's better. Oh, two mana cats. They're two mana 2/2s.
Yeah.
That's cool. They could be funny, because they could pick, like, an artifact creature, and then, I don't know, a third type, and quickly get a fourth one, rather than the other one, obviously, with Scar, get to choose. But still, I think being able to look for it more reliably is probably better.
And there's two, the deck plays three Liliana the Last Hope main, and two Liliana Death Majesties in the sideboard. Has anyone brood of that yet? We've got a chance to use it. I haven't seen people doing much with her yet.
No, I want to. She sounds good.
I'm watching Liliana with great interest. I think it's a great card. I think Liliana the Last Hope just suits what this deck is doing better. It's more on curve.
I think it's quite obvious to see, like, how she could be a good card and what deck she goes into. Yeah. What I'm more interested to know, because I don't know what the outcome will be, is if anyone's going to make a deck out of Nissa, because I think she's really interesting as a card and I'd like to build something out of her. But apart from using that weird looks of river enchantment thing, I can't really think of a good way to use her, but I look forward to someone being able to do that.
The most obvious thing I can think of is Weaver of Currents and other mana dorks with Koira to just cast her for a lot, and then you just get to play stuff out of your library for free. What the rest of the deck would look like is a mystery to me. That's just off the top.
Not sure about that. When I played her in the pre-release, I've never used her creature ability. I just scry two all the time until she was big enough to ultimately get flying lands to finish them off.
She's good or not? Because she's still like $14, isn't she? So they're still hoping for something from her, presumably.
Yeah. I would have thought so. Plus two scry two is just good.
Yeah.
With a planeswalker that fits anywhere on the curve.
Yep.
A deck will be for her somewhere.
It'd be nice, yeah.
Okay, so that was the Delirium. As you say, there was the sort of stuff you'd normally expect, so Grimflayers, Ishkanaz, that sort of thing. One thing I thought was interesting was there was no Grapple with the Past or Grapple with the Past.
Yeah, there's a Vessel of Nascency for some reason.
Four of them.
Which I always liked, as I always preferred that as a card. But yeah, no Grapple.
Which I thought was odd. I preferred having an amount of both rather than just one.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Isn't Grapple a sorcery?
Instant,
but Vessel's the enchantment, and there doesn't seem to be any other enchantments in the deck.
Yeah,
which might be why.
No, but that could well be it. But I always preferred, again, I think maybe this is sort of the peppering of different kind of cards that you could choose from. I always liked having the one of Deadweight and or Sinister Concoction as well to get the enchantments in there, which is very nice. I also like Walking Ballista as well, because you can just play that at any point for X, get two creep. Two types, and then just get it back with Liliana.
Turns on Revolt as well, which is useful for Fatal Push and stuff.
Yeah. With the Mardu vehicles, I'm not going to go over each deck list, but there were a few variations. I mean, some had Glorybringers, some have Avacyns.
Lawrence Vess has Gideon of Trials, three of.
Yeah, I think he's good. I think he goes right in there, personally. But
That's what I thought there'd be more. I thought there'd be more than just one deck running them.
What we may have been seeing here is perhaps something that represented card availability. I mean, Mardu Vehicle is an easy thing just to sleeve up and say, well, I've got it. Just play four Gideons. I know that's good. And then just not be too upset about it. Perhaps that was coming into play a little bit. I'm not too sure. Still playing Walking Ballista. One thing I did like in the first place deck was one copy of Cut to Ribbons, which I was pleased to see. A nice little way of, between Walking Ballista, Unlicensed Disintegration, and Cut to Ribbons, you've got little ways of just doing the final amounts of damage, which is great for that deck. That's a nice little addition from Almanket, even if they're not adding very much in.
I think I would have preferred cut if it was, like, say, double red and one, or three mana, I mean, and, like, make it instant speed. I don't like that it's sorcery, but I really do like the fact that it's, well, what they do. It's just the sorcery bit I don't like.
No, which is, I think that's perhaps why it's nice as a one-off, because it's not quite where, like you say, where you want it to be, which I think is what's made people quite low on the card. But
yeah.
I think it's definitely worthwhile as a one-off, because, I mean, there'll be times where you know, you're Mizzium Mortis something and you're happy with that.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Mizzium is sorcery on instant.
Mizzium Mortis is sorcery, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. If that's all, yeah, I forgot. That's all lot of play. So, yeah, if that did, definitely.
I do like that. The winning deck just has three Almanket cards in the main. Two of them are lands. Just bicycle lands. It's really mixing it up there, Wizards. Well done.
That was a top eight and not very much variation. When I looked over to page two and extended this to top 16, we saw another two Mardu Vehicles decks. Another green-black... Sorry, actually, I'm talking rubbish. It's not green-black Delirium, green-black Aggro. Even though the top eight was pretty stacked with Mardu Vehicles, even just the top 16, we see a lot more variation. So green-black...
Oh, yeah, that's a lot better. I forgot there was a page two.
Yeah, green-black Aggro, which was the what we're used to seeing with the green-black counters, the snake deck. And we also have blue-red Thermo Alchemist, two Team Aetherwork Marvel decks, and a Jeskai Control deck.
Black-white Zombies!
Black-white Zombies, I don't know how I missed that. So yeah, green-black Aggro was fairly stock, I would say. They say Walking Ballistas, Glint Sleeves, Greenbelt Rampager, Grimflayer, Long Tusk Cub, all that stuff. Really low on the curve. 16 lands, which is hyper-aggressive. Yeah.
Zombie deck only has 20 as well. It was quite cheap for a deck, actually.
What, the zombies?
Yeah, it's got Diagraph Colossus in it, Simon's favourite card.
Yeah.
I do like Diagraph Colossus.
Yeah. It's interesting to see these different aggro decks, then. Blista one in particular is very low to the curve.
Page 2's so much better. Yeah. I'm really chuffed. I'll take it all back, Wizards. Great.
Let's have a look at this zombie deck, then.
Oh, it looks super good.
Scrounger's not a zombie.
Binding Mummy in the sideboard. I love it when you see stupid commons and uncommons on the sideboard.
Oh, guys, it's starting. I'll go get the washing in.
Breaking news. Okay. Oh, yeah, also, I wanted your opinion. With Living End, obviously, Rest in Peace is a bad card and needs to die. I was looking for different options, and I'm not sure how this one works, but I thought a bit about it a bit more, but I realised that it actually isn't too bad against lots of different decks, and it's a card Culling Scales, which I'm not sure if you'll be familiar with.
Not off the top of my head.
3 mana artifact from Mirrodin, which you generally only see in Commander, but basically at the beginning of your upkeep, you destroy the permanent with the lowest CMC that isn't a land, and if it's drawn, then you pick the card. So obviously, as a Living End player, you would never have anything as a permanent that's like less than CMC 4 or 5, so you put it in, and it means that one, it can get rid of Rest in Peace as well as Beast Within, but also it's actually not too bad against, not so much aggro because it's a bit too quick, but other creature decks where you just keep killing their 2 and 3 mana CC creatures, CMC creatures every turn.
Yeah, it's rarely ever going to be any of the cyclers, even post Living End, is it?
Yeah, so it's 3 mana, so obviously it doesn't get cascaded into. I'm going to give it a go, I'm going to do 2 in the main, 2 in the side and see what it does, but it's nice because it's another way of getting rid of Rest in Peace, and as well as just killing creatures before you do your thing, so... It should be interesting.
I like it. Rest in Peace is one of the hardest things to get around.
I can't really think of it. That's what I was trying to look for, because I've got obviously completely destroyed by that, the two games someone played that, and I couldn't really think of anything else. I don't know if you've got any options from when you play it.
The only thing I found is obviously Beast Within is something, but...
Yeah.
Sorry about that, guys.
That's all right. It's why I've got the Ingoture.
Ingoture.
Yeah, but that doesn't target enchantments, which is a shame.
Is there one that targets enchantments?
White there is. So if you go into white, you could have Dawnflute.
That's not too bad.
So one white.
Cryptbreaker has gone from $1.50 to $4 in the last week.
Wow.
Oh, has it?
It spiked 2 days ago.
Well, better put my prices up.
Exactly. Yeah, I've got my price up already. I kind of want to build this deck now. I mean, Cryptbreaker was kind of in a bad place because of the Walking Ballista situation, but... I kind of want to build it now because it's got Diagraph Colossus and Plague Belcher in it.
Yeah.
Oh, this looks good. I think I've got this deck already, apart from Plague Belcher.
It's playing Dark Salvation.
Yes.
Two puts X 2/2 black zombies into the battlefield, then up to one target creature gets -1/-1. Wow.
Love it. I need to build this deck, man. It's too many decks that are too spicy that I want to build. Yeah, 9 to 16 is a lot more fun to look at.
This is another 30 creature deck as well. I mean, this is a lot of aggro in this.
Although 20 it's lands.
20 lands. One thing I'm a little bit saddened. If you're going to play Cryptbreaker, then you should be playing Prized Amalgam. I'm going to say it. I think you should. Especially Scrap Heap Scrounger. Like they've got recipes in there to bring that back, and they're not doing it.
But it hasn't got... Oh, it has got Scrap Heap Scrounger. Yeah, that's just stupid. Yeah, I agree. Like, I'm almost tempted to put in Voldaren Pariah as well.
Yeah.
Because that's the first deck I used Cryptbreaker in.
Yeah.
To enable that. So, yeah.
Nice,
I will make some modifications.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I think it's nice that there are a decent amount of options now to build this deck. Like, it's not just, there's only one way to build it, and it's not that great. You've got lots of different things that all feel quite good. Like, the zombie decks that I've sort of toyed around with, you run out of room pretty quick.
Yeah.
Which is nice. So, yeah, that's Black White Zombies. And then we have Blue Red Thermo Alchemist. Blue Red Thermo Alchemist is a weird deck where they're playing Storm Chaser Mage, Thermo Alchemist, which is you tap it to deal one damage and it untaps every time you cast an instant or sorcery. You have Bedlam Reveler, which costs less mana to cast for each instant sorcery card in your graveyard. Glory Bringer, which everyone knows about, the big nasty dragon. And then you have 23 non-creature spells, so like burn spells. Basically, yeah, just all burn spells. There's no counter spells at all. So I don't know what the blue's for. Storm Chaser Mage.
Beavered Visions.
Okay. That's pretty ballsy.
Yep.
So it's kind of like a prowessy, pingy, burny, Fevered Visions-y deck. And two Charred Torch of Defiance. So yeah, it seems like this doesn't look like it's going to do much to you, then all of a sudden you're being hit in the face with the Glory Bringer and then being pinged to death. And Collective Defiance, which I've always liked but I've never really seen in a deck, which is good. 4 damage to target creature, 3 damage to target opponent, or you can discard cards to then draw that many cards.
I always thought that was the most powerful Escalate card, but it never got to see any play because it was just, well, it wasn't outshined at all because no one was playing red for a bit, and then when people were playing red, it was just Chandra instead of that card.
Mm.
I think it's really good. Particularly, well, just all the modes I like. I've done it for all modes before and it's been super good.
Yeah. More Glory Bringers in the sideboard and Weaver of Lightning. Pretty standard sort of red sideboard card reach. Whenever you cast instant or sorcery spells, it deals one damage to target creature to try and wipe out your opponent's board. Interesting little deck. And that was ninth, so they just missed out.
Mainly just aggressive decks in the top 12.
Yes.
Apart from Delirium.
Well, there's also Jeskai Control as well.
I was just looking at that 16. Because it's got the 4 Torrential Gearhouse. I was expecting the Commit to Memory as well. That card's been doing a lot of work.
Yes.
But no, it doesn't seem to be running that.
No. I'm noticing, though, in this control deck, they are making big use out of cycling. They have 1 Sweltering Suns, 4 Sensor, and 4 Cast Out. 9 Cyclers, as well as 4 Glimmer of Genius. A lot of seeing through their deck, and 2 Pull from Tomorrow as well.
I do love cycling. I'm really glad they brought it back. It's great fun. Always like to do. Cycle that, get something better.
Yeah.
Loads of people were surprised by the fact that I was playing Living End again. They were like, oh, that's interesting. You've got that card from Amonkhet. I was like, yep, that's how I viewed Amonkhet. It's a way to get some interesting more cards into Living End. It's been the same thing for years.
Team at Aetherworks deck, 4-0 Refiner, Ulamog, Ceaseless Hunger, Dynavolt Tower, and then ways to make energy and kill stuff. And then Aetherworks Marvel. One of them seems really weird because it's literally going all in on the Ulamog plan. And there aren't that many ways to put that thing back in your deck. In fact, there are no ways for them to put that back in their deck if they just draw it. So they're hoping the game goes long with their 22 lands. I mean, I'm mocking it, but it must have done well. I mean, it's finished 13th.
I suppose, is anyone playing Counterspells at the moment? That's probably why, I guess. I don't know.
Control decks were making appearance for a while until they know what they're fighting against.
Yeah.
So they're always a bit slower to develop.
Well, there was that Jeskai Control one in the top here that we just talked about.
That's just 1 out of 16.
That's true. Yeah, seems weird. The other deck, Fat. So this deck basically it's like 4-colour Shaheely, but without Shaheely or Cat. And they've put more Aetherworks Marvels in. So yeah, it's that deck if you know that deck. So the Rogue Refiner. This one's got more creatures in, like Servant of the Conduit, World of Virtuoso. So more actual ways to win if you don't draw Aetherworks Marvel or Ulamog. And they're playing Bounty of the Luxor.
Yay, I like that card.
Flood Counters.
Yeah, it goes well with Nissa.
Yeah. Okay, that's a thing. I don't know if there's anything else that either of you saw, like, deeper down. There's a green-white tokens deck as well. Chandler, using Chandler Initiate, 20th place, which is the enter the battlefield with 3 minus 1 counters, tap it to remove a counter, add mana of any colour to your mana pool. Just playing 4 Gideon, 4 Nissa Voices, Endicar. Doesn't look as powerful. It's playing Verdurous Gearhulk. And then Blue-Red Emerge. So yeah, this is an interesting one then. So 18th place, they're playing the old Wretched Griff that emerges and you get to draw a card. And creatures that can be returned from the graveyard to the battlefield. So like Stitch.
Blood of the Scar.
Yeah. But they've put in Blood Rage Brawler, just the 2-mana 4/3.
Oh, that's a nice extra way to disguise your prize then.
I like that, because I used to play that deck. That's really nice.
That is good. Nice addition.
Yeah. Is Kozilek Return in a better place now? I suppose it is with stuff like Glorybringer.
Yeah, if you can kill Glorybringer, that'd be great.
Yeah, maybe that deck's got some more life in it. That's quite cool.
Yeah, all the old favourites. Prized Amalgam, Elder Deep Fiend, 4 Cathartic Reunion, 3 Reduced to Ashes.
Hang on. Drake Haven in the sideboard, 3 of.
Oh, as well as Fevered Visions.
So he just changes it up to a completely different deck.
I like those decks. A friend of mine used to play, I think it was Kiki, some Kiki Diki card, and then it sideboarded into Splinter Twin. Back in Modern when it wasn't banned.
This is the best sideboard I've seen in a long time. 3 Drake Haven, 4 Fusion Visions, 2 Disavow, 3 Magma Throne, 2 Hazoret the Fervent, and 1 Nahiri's Wrath.
Hazoret, he says. Oh, I might have to build this deck as well. What number was this on?
18th place.
Third page.
Zach Ross. I really like the sideboard. I think that's better than all the new decks we've seen.
Do you know what I really like about this is what I say like? This is going to be so infuriating. So you cast Blood Rage Brawler and discard Reduce to Rubble. Turn 3, you basically cast Rubble, which is up to three lands don't tap during their controller's next untapped step. So if they've played something, you just tap them down and then just beat them for 4. And then you can play some other stuff and then hold a Deep Fiend and just keep tapping their stuff down. Like the amount of,
that's nasty.
That's horrid.
One thing I would add would be, Herald of Kozilek. You can emerge him for a Deep Fiend costs 4 less, not 3, because he's a colourless spell.
Yep.
That's an interesting rules thing as well. But I always like running him in any of the emerge decks just because also just having a 2/4 creature is just always really nice, I think.
Yeah, 2/4 is good. No, yeah, this one's pretty interesting. I like this.
I like the Hazoret in the sideboard. And Nahiri's Wrath for some reason.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, if you discard Elder Deep Fiend to Nahiri's Wrath, so you discard X cards, and it deals damage equal to the total converted mana cost of the discarded cards to each of up to X target creatures or planeswalkers. So, yeah, that's insane.
That's fine. Yeah, that's good.
I like it with Drake Haven on the board for 6 mana, you get an army of Drakes on it.
Actually, that's not bad. That's actually doable because it's only 3 mana.
It's really good. I really like it.
Okay, so was there any other decks that you wanted to chat about?
I hope that they stick and the format gets a bit more diverse. I just don't want it to be Mardy vehicles again.
For another
set of standard. I think that'll kill standard again.
Yeah. There's so much there that hopefully it doesn't need to be like that. I think the removal is so strong that obviously Mardu's utilising a lot of that removal, but there hopefully should be tools there to get the job done. Okay, so that was it for the SCG Open in Atlanta and looking into standard to come.
I felt a bit disheartened at the end.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right, that's me. Bummed myself.
Bummed out now.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is our little roundup of standard. In the meantime, if there's something you want to ask us or you want to leave comments on the video, then please do. Find us on Facebook as well. We're there. Search up Glimmer of Genius. And we can also be found at glimmerofgenius.podbean.com.
And MTGcast.
Oh, yeah. And we are also on the MTGcast network as well, which is mtgcast.com. Thanks for listening and stay tuned for more. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.